Our State Capitol Report continues now with a discussion with Dave Cheslevich, the former mayor of Madison, who writes the Citizen Dave blog for the Madison Weekly Isthmus. And according to his latest column, Wisconsin Democrats need to stop bailing out majority Republicans. And he says that Wisconsin Democrats have earned minority status. We will find out why he says this, and we'll welcome your questions and your thoughts on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Dave Cheslevich, former mayor of Madison, and writes the Citizen Dave blog for the Madison Weekly Isthmus. Good morning.
Morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
We'll get into details as we go along, but in a nutshell, why do state Democrats deserve to be in the minority?
Well, yeah, obviously I was trying to be provocative with that phrase, but when you're in the minority, your job is to stop being the minority. The sole role of a minority party is to become the majority, and that's good for democracy. That's the way democracy is supposed to work. Minority parties are supposed to be a thorn in the side of the majority, is supposed to challenge the majority point of view, the majority agenda, and they're supposed to offer creative ideas of their own. That's the purpose of a minority. And it's good for democracy because it makes the majority accountable. And what the Democrats have done, and they're deep minorities in the Assembly and in the Senate, they're seldom invited to the dance, but when they are, it seems to me that they should be challenging the Republican points of view instead of aiding and abetting them. There are really only two times in the last 4 years that the Democrats have been asked for their votes. The first was a few months ago in the Bucks Arena deal, which was a deeply unpopular deal. 80% of Wisconsinites were against that. Almost two out of three people in the Milwaukee metro area were against it. The Republicans couldn't pass it on their own. They didn't have enough votes. So they kicked it out of the budget, and they got Democrats to join Republicans in voting for it, bailing them out of a deeply unpopular vote. And the second time that happened is just a couple weeks ago, where there was a question of borrowing for roads. Now, we're borrowing way too much for roads. Everybody agrees to that, including the road-building lobby. And yet, the Republicans, again, didn't have enough votes to take a bad public policy position, by the way, which was to borrow another $350 million for roads in addition to the $500 million we had already borrowed. They didn't have the votes for it. And again, the minority Democrats bailed them out.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. The Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee needed four Democratic votes in order to approve the $350 million in extra transportation borrowing, and they got them. What should Democrats have demanded in exchange for those yes votes, or were they justified should they have voted no?
They definitely should have voted no. It's bad public policy. And, in fact, the six Republican senators who voted against it, in my view, were right to vote against it. We're borrowing way too much to build roads. There needs to be some sort of long-term revenue solution here. And the six Republicans, actually led by Alberta Darling, voting against that were, in my view, right to do it. It was good public policy to be against that policy. And yet the Democrats stepped in and supported continued borrowing, which actually makes it easy for us to not come up with a long-term solution, which has to involve some revenue increases on the transportation side. So it wasn't even as if the Democrats stepped in to do something that was good public policy. But my argument is, even if they felt some need to do that, and God knows why they did, but even if they felt some need to do that, what they could have done is said, look, this has got to be rolled into a bigger bill that improves things that we care about as Democrats. So more mass transportation for cities, more funding for alternative transportation, all kinds of things. The complete streets law, full disclosure, I work for the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. Mm-hmm. An issue that was very near and dear to our hearts was the complete streets law, which requires that communities look at pedestrians and cyclists when they're rebuilding a road. That was repealed by the Republicans. Democrats could have insisted that be reinstated. There's a whole list of things that they could have done, but they didn't. They just gave up their votes and got nothing in return.
Yeah, and back to the Milwaukee Bucks arena, again, enough Democrats backed the project, so it did go to Governor Walker for approval. Republicans needed Democratic support to greenlight the project. Milwaukee Democrats in particular apparently were concerned of the Milwaukee Bucks leaving. Why was that the wrong approach?
Well, it was the wrong approach because, and again, I'm talking at a political level here. I think there's a whole bunch of reasons why aiding sports teams is bad from a policy level. There isn't an economist in the country, liberal or conservative, who says that that's a good investment. There's plenty of literature that demonstrates that that's not a good way to use economic development dollars. But on a political level, it was unpopular with even two out of three of the Milwaukee metro area. It didn't get them any votes. Now, I understand why they felt pressure to do it. Mayor Barrett was strongly supportive of it. I don't blame Mayor Barrett. I used to be a mayor. I suppose if I were in the same position, I might have taken the same position. You get into a place where you want to be a cheerleader for your community. You would hate to lose a professional sports team on your watch. From the mayor's perspective, I cut up some slack and understand it. But from a legislative perspective, they were in the minority. They had an opportunity to use this as a deeply symbolic issue of where the Republicans were coming from. And in my view, they should have voted against it.
Yeah. You wrote that the Democratic Party is just lost. It has no ideas, no leadership, and no energy. We have just a couple of minutes before a news break. Is that hyperbole, or do you really think the party is in that bad a shape?
Well, I am in the business of writing a blog and trying to get some readers, so maybe it's a bit of hyperbole, but the truth is, it really just is lacking in energy and ideas. And I know the leadership does work hard. I like the folks who are leaders of the Democratic Party right now, but when you're presented with these two opportunities, and you don't get many, but when you're presented with these two opportunities to actually make a statement, and you just let them go, that's a real problem.
We are talking with Dave Cheslevich, former mayor of Madison. He writes the Citizen Dave blog for the Madison Weekly, Isthmus. His recent piece is titled, "The Democrats Deserve to Be in the Minority." He's telling us why, and we wonder what you think. Do you agree or not? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. How do you rate the job performance of Wisconsin Democrats? Do you agree with Citizen Dave that they have failed and deserve to be in the minority? Or are there areas where you think they deserve credit? What would you like to see them do going forward? We'll check news and then we'll be back. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we are going to be talking with a filmmaker about our national parks. We will welcome your questions and comments about your favorite national parks coming up after 8 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. According to former Madison Mayor Dave Cheslevich, Wisconsin Democrats need to stop bailing out majority Republicans, and he says they have earned minority status. We are talking with him about what he says the Democratic Party is doing and saying that the Democratic Party is lost and void of ideas, leadership, and energy. And we welcome your questions and your views on this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mark in Oconomowoc is with us. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I'm agreeing with your guest at 100%. It's something I've long been in discussions with other people. As I told the producer, I believe it was Will Rogers who famously quipped, "I belong to no organized political party. I'm a Democrat." In the transportation bill, as he had mentioned, the obvious solution was to increase the gas tax, of which the vast majority of people I have spoken with agreed with, including many Republicans who wanted to call it a user fee. But again, they did not use their minority status to allow that vote and stand on increasing the gas tax, thereby not having to borrow so much money.
Yep, thanks. So you think, Dave, that if Democrats would have said, nope, not voting for this borrowing, that the Republicans would have raised the gas tax?
Not immediately, but I can tell you that Republicans have told me that they think the votes are there with the help of some Democrats to do that. Now, I think that's good public policy in the long run. But if the Democrats, and I think that this probably will happen actually in the next budget cycle, but if the Democrats, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to raise this issue now, if they're going to be asked to provide votes to raise the gas tax in the next budget, and they may very well be asked to do that because there's a core in the Republican caucuses that will vote for no tax increase anytime, forget it. If they're going to be asked to provide their votes for a transportation tax increase next year or year after, then they ought to have a list of demands, a very high price that must be paid to get those votes. That's the way the minority should function.
What about, Democrats are not an organized party?
Well, Rogers was right. The quote was, I'm a member of no organized political party, I'm a Democrat. Oh, yeah, that's been true for a long time. And that was kind of, I think, a gentle way of saying what I said, maybe somewhat more harshly. But, you know, the Democrats always have been the big tent party, and that makes them hard to organize. But this isn't hard. As a matter of fact, when you're in the minority, usually you have more cohesion. Usually, because you have no power, you can focus your efforts. Look, the Republicans did this. When I started in politics as a young legislative aide back in the early 80s, I was working for a Democrat. Democrats had big majorities. They had had them for a long time. The Republicans were dispirited. And then they started electing folks like Steve Foti and like Scott Jensen. These were young guys who didn't want to be in the minority. They badly wanted to be the majority governing party. And they started to figure out how to work their way back. And the main way they did it was they got the Democrats to fight on their ground. So even though we had majorities, the Democrats did, we were talking about Republican issues. We were talking about taxes. We were talking about crime. And these are issues on which, at the time, the Republicans had the upper hand. And so guys like Jensen and Foti figured out a way to dig out of the minority. And when I say that Democrats don't have energy and ideas, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's nobody among the legislative Democrats right now who is able to do what those guys did for the Republicans 30 years ago.
So do you... point the finger of blame at Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca or Senator Julie Lassa of Stevens Point, who is the Democratic leader in the Senate?
I think Jen Schilling is a Democratic leader in the Senate.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I know both those folks, and I like them very much. And, you know, I'm not here to point blame at individuals. I made a point of not naming names. But I just think that as a party, the Democrats have to figure out that their role... Here's, I think, the fundamental problem. Democrats believe government can do good in society. And so they fundamentally want to see it work. And because they want to see it work, they're inclined to provide votes to accomplish things that, for whatever reason, they think might be good. You know, that's laudable. But the truth is, they can't really do much good at all as long as they're in the minority. Hundreds of issues. You know, you just had a guest on, Jay Heck, who talked about some horrible things that happened with regard to campaign finance reform. Democrats were not asked to be at that table. Over and over again, Democrats are not asked to the dance. They're only asked to the dance when the Republicans need a vote on an unpopular move. And it seems to me when you have those few opportunities for leverage, you have to fully exploit them. And that's what makes me so frustrated.
Yeah, and I apologize for my error, but I was thinking of Senator Julie Lassa of Stevens Point because she, along with Peter Barca, sit on the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation's board. And the Republicans, Robin Voss, says he wants to collaborate on ideas for changes for WEDIC with the two Democrats who sit on the board. Is this another opportunity for the Democrats to, I don't know, get some needed change?
Yes. I mean, it's another issue on which any time the minority party gets invited to the table, it means that the majority party is signaling that they don't have support for whatever it is they want to do. Well, that gives you an opportunity to do one of two things. Obviously, you could go after them very hard attack them, say no, or you could cooperate, but then cooperate with a very high price so that you can get some of your agenda across the finish line. And so that's what I think. It's really a change of attitude that I think they need. You know, I'm surprised no one's brought up yet, oh, you know, the Republicans gerrymandered, and that's the reason the Democrats are in such a deep minority. Well, there's some truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. But so what? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it now. And so you've got to take the hand that you're dealt and figure out a way to play it in a way that you get the majority back on everything a minority party does. That's the way they ought to be looking at it. They should not look at it as if, oh, gee, we get an opportunity to govern. Because you know what? 99% of the time, you don't.
Let's take another call from Brenda in Eau Claire. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I think I look at this in a totally different perspective, you know, than your guest. And I have watched the Democrats fight a war without very much ammunition. And the ammunition is us, the public. The Republicans are very well organized. They're on every single local talk radio show spreading their propaganda, spreading information that is not true, trying to get people to side in, and I have seen it, I have heard it, I have observed it over the years. The Democrats are doing everything they can. Now, when the Republicans invite them to the table, it's not just necessarily that they need their support. It's to pull them in to the negative process, and then when election time comes, they point at the Democrats and say they were involved in it. I'm speaking of Weedick for sure. Because they're not going to, I've watched them pull in the Democrats and say, oh, yeah, we're interested. And then the Democrats are the ones that the fingers are pointed in after negotiations or working on an issue. There's a huge demand and for Democrats to get involved. They fought really hard and others during Act 10. And there were numbers there, and I'm over on the, in Eau Claire, we didn't see any of that on our televisions. We didn't see the people getting handcuffed at the Capitol. We didn't see any of that information. We're not getting the information on our side of the state. And we,
Brenda, I need to jump in. Very, very passionate here. But Brenda, at first saying that it's Democratic voters who share some of the blame. They're not backing up their lawmakers.
Right. Well, Brenda said she disagreed with me, but I don't disagree with her. Yeah, I think that Democrats have been too focused on Milwaukee and Madison and trying to get their numbers up there and in the rest of the state. I know it's hard, but the truth is you have to find some way to appeal to voters who aren't either not showing up to vote at all as folks in about the 20% lowest part of the income quintile don't. The bottom 20%, the folks who are making the least amount of money in our society who would benefit from Democratic policies basically don't show up and vote. And in the next 20% up, they tend to vote Republican for a variety of reasons. Democrats have to figure out how to get those folks to the polls who would benefit from their policies who aren't voting at all now, and they have to convince some other folks who would also benefit from their policies but who, for whatever reason, see value in Republican policies. They have to convince them. I think that's the fertile ground, and a lot of that ground is outside of Madison and Milwaukee.
Yeah. So what advice do you have, besides maybe looking outside of Madison and Milwaukee, what advice do you have for Wisconsin Democrats for 2016?
They've got to, well, first of all, 2016 I think will not be a bad year for them. Presidential years tend to be better for Democrats. They've got to figure out how to get their voters to the polls in the off years as well, 2010, 2012, 2014, 2018. And they've got to get people to vote who are not voting at all right now. And frankly, you know, they've got to continue to appeal very much so to African Americans, Hispanics, women, younger people. That's all good for the Democrats. But they also have to find a way to win back some white voters, some middle-class white voters where they're really getting hit. Just to give you an example, Mary Burke, fine candidate for governor, she won white women by 9 percentage points. She lost white men by 24 percentage points. You just can't make up that kind of ground. You have to find some way to get those blue-collar white voters, at least some of them back to the Democratic Party.
Well, and Doug on Facebook says, I would also add that I find it terribly sad that they don't deserve the governor's office either, since they can't seem to find a viable candidate to beat a governor with a 58% disapproval rating. When will the Democratic Party of Wisconsin remove their heads from their you-know-wheres and find a candidate outside of Madison or Milwaukee? We need a candidate who represents the reality of the rest of this state, not the ideology of Madison.
Yeah, there's no obvious Democratic candidate for governor right now. The Democratic Party is probably at its low ebb right now. But, hey, they were back in the 50s, and folks like Gaylord Nelson and Bill Proxmire and James Doyle, the senior, showed up, and they found a way to win back majorities, and they were in the majority for a long time. Same with the Republicans. You know, they found themselves in a deep minority in the 80s. They found a way to get back. Democrats will, but right now I'd say they're at low ebb.
We'll leave it there because we're out of time. Thanks very much for being with us.
Okay, thanks, Ray.
Dave Cheslevich, former mayor of Madison. He writes the Citizen Dave blog for the Madison Weekly Isthmus. And you can read that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.